when we think about our world, we look around and it's like there's lots of things not working. You know, there's injustice. There are people who go hungry. There are children who don't have a place to go home to at night. There are many who suffer from illnesses, and many of them don't even have the privilege of treatment. There are many places, even in our own community, who are homeless. And, of course, all of us care about all of these things. I don't think there's one person here today that doesn't care. And yet, sometimes we struggle with, like, how to respond. Like, what do we do about all of these things? When we experience life, some of these very things, and maybe not the severity of them, but in categories of health and wellness, financial pressures, relationship pressures, we have employment pressures. We have all sorts of categories of our life, but God says, the peace is what I offer you. When the disciples were filled with anxiety, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And it's not the kind of peace that the world gives, which is all perfectly fine. But Jesus says his peace is entirely different. And that word peace in Hebrew, shalom, that peace that Jesus promises us is not the absence of conflict or the easy life. It's that all the things in our life are in proper balance. Wouldn't that be cool if things in our life were in proper balance? If we had balance in our life, then our priorities become crystal clear. You know, I think coming to Cold Spring Church a few years back, Cold Spring Church, it has a history like none other. And did you hear? It's the Church of Presidents. Yeah. And I bet that's something that you didn't even know or perhaps did not remember about Cold Spring Church. But we're far more than just a name-dropping church. Oh, yes. Cold Spring Church, over more than 300 years, has had such an impact in this area. In fact, First Church on the island, First Presbyterian Church, was started from our church. And many other churches in the area were encouraged by our church. Our church was here first, and it was located here. Actually, the original location was a little further south. But we're here in this area serving the neighborhood because we are for the neighborhood. We are in the neighborhood. And this neighborhood has been transformed over these cycles of ministry that we have experienced. And so when I arrived, all I found was a lot of amazing spiritual energy that was built on the history of countless thousands of people who have been involved in this this faith community. This faith community is in the midst of the community at large. In fact, you all are the community at large who also choose to be in the right place today as in a faith community as well. And our impact is in countless stories that are yet being told. In fact, I wonder what the presidents talked about when they got back to Washington. Hey, what'd you do this weekend, Prez? Oh, I was at Cold Spring Church up near Cape May. No kidding, what did you learn? And I just can't even imagine what the wonderful things they must have said. You know, there are lots of other wonderful people that come here, but again, we're not name-dropping churches. We're action people. We do things. We don't name drop here. And so our ministry in the community is absolutely our mission. So we're not just a bunch of really great people who focus on Jesus. We love Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. We want to follow in his steps. We want to lead our life so that it's more like Jesus' life. And yet we don't just want Jesus to be our model. We want Jesus to be our Savior. We want Jesus to be someone who isn't just a great leader to follow, but someone who actually makes a total difference in our life. But again, our life in Jesus is not easy. Jesus didn't say, accept me into your life and you'll have a wonderful, easy life. I don't think he ever said that. And you can double check. We have Dave Word back this week, so glad to have you here, Dave. Dave's my fact checker. And oftentimes after a sermon or a message I give, he said, you know, I'm not sure this is really what you really meant to say. And I'll say, thank you for that. And he gives me feedback. And maybe I need some more fact checkers. But this one thing I know, Jesus didn't put us here to just have a great life. He called it the abundant life, but it doesn't mean a life of our abundance. It means that we live our life in God's abundance. That God is a God of grace and generosity, and has showered us with many gifts. So Jesus wanted his people to know that it's not just following me that matters, like blindly following, like, oh, are you following Jesus? No, I just got caught up in this group. I'm trying to get past them, but I'm caught behind them. No, following Jesus, Jesus stops them and says, you know what, in your life, I want your life to be different. I don't want you to treat other people the way just ordinary people do. I want you to treat people with dignity and respect. I want you to reach out to people that other people say are the least among us. I want you to reach out to those who may feel lost among us. And those who are least and lost and lonely, those who have been set aside, Jesus says, I want you to pay particular attention to them. And don't do it by ignoring everybody else. Care about everyone, but you just better never forget and always remember the least and the lonely and the lost. And Jesus had a special place in his heart for children. Jesus knew that children can often be neglected. Children can often be overlooked, sometimes just because they're down here and we're up here. Other times it's their clamoring for attention. Other times it's the needs that they present that we're responsible in fulfilling. But again, Jesus didn't say, have children, it's really going to be easy. Jesus said, just have children, have families, have neighbors and friends, care about other people. It's work, but I have placed you here to make a difference. So when Paul ended up in the city of Corinth, now it doesn't say Cape May here, but it's not unlike Cape May. Corinth was a city that was near water. It had beaches and shoreline. Corinth was in the middle of a region that depended on the sea to make a living. And Corinth is the church that Paul started some years before this letter was written. We call it 1 Corinthians, but it wasn't the first time Paul had been to Corinth. He wrote the letter, and he had a second letter, and possibly many, many others. But he wrote 1 Corinthians, and recalling the time when he went there some years before and told them about Jesus. He met them in the marketplace. He met them on the hill. He met them in the alley. He met them in the place where mom says, never go there. Paul went like Jesus went to the places of the least and the lost. But he also went to leaders and people of influence. Again, Jesus is for everyone. And so when Paul went there those years before, he uses the analogy of planting a seed. He planted the seed. So Paul planted. And now he's found out, after leaving there and gone to many other cities across the travel routes of his day, he hears word that there's conflict in the church, that there's divisions and jealousies. There are people that are just acting badly. And Paul uses a different analogy, not of the planting, but he uses the analogy of taking care of children. And he said, and these words are hard for us to hear, but you can imagine how they heard these words. Paul says, you're a bunch of babies. In fact, you're so much a bunch of babies that I can't even give you milk to drink. You're like that much a bunch of babies. I don't even understand why you could be a bunch of babies, because you did not learn Christ this way. Now, he wasn't insulting them, but he certainly got their attention, because adults don't want to be babies. In fact, while we're babies, it's kind of cool, I guess. But we don't even remember much when we're babies, because we can't wait to grow up. We want to always be grown-ups. We like the idea that we're growing and learning. And all of us learn differently. All of us need different things, different resources to grow and learn. But Paul writes to them and reminds them and says, I can't give you the solid food, as if in a spiritual journey, it's all developmental. It's just like the children going in class, or in the Girl Scouts, going from one group to another group as you age and you progress and you learn. Paul says the spiritual community also has to grow and learn. And so the milk would be the idea that just being reminded every day that Jesus is my Savior, and I'm so glad Jesus is my Savior back in 1952, or back in 1981, or back in 2012, or last weekend. I'm so glad that Jesus is my Savior, but there hasn't been any growth or any movement toward growth since then. And so it's perfectly fine that Jesus, you met Jesus, that's wonderful, that's so good. But think back In what ways have you grown and learned since that time that you have a memory that I know that God is in my life and God loves me and is crazy about me and I want God to be in the center of my life? When is the last time or maybe the first time you said that? And just think back on the ways that you've grown and learned. There have been countless ways that you've grown and learned. But some of the people in Corinth were stuck in the infant stage. They were just content knowing just some facts about Jesus and didn't really want to walk with Jesus or have their life conform more to Jesus, because Jesus didn't just say, accept me and then do what I say. He says, accept me, do what I say, and I've given you a helper. That's why we're called a spiritual community, because God has given us God's Spirit. That as hard as it is to be true and loyal and faithful disciples of Jesus, and it is, God has given believers that inner spirit that allows us to grow and to learn and does not just stay as spiritual infants. Everybody, it's okay to be a spiritual infant. But if you're still a spiritual infant next week or next month or next year or however your growth curve is, in this stage of your life and learning and circumstances, you want to make sure that you're moving toward being more like Jesus. To one of the signs that Paul said, and I know you're infants, I hear stories, he says. I hear stories. You guys are a bunch of babies. Here's what I've heard. I've heard that some of you are in the camp and say, I love Apollos. And Apollos was, say, one of the pastors or one of the leaders of the church. Paul, no doubt, appointed Apollos as the leader when he left Corinth. He said, now, Apollos, you're a good guy. Appreciate it. You gotta get your act together. And I'll come back again on my little itinerant journey here. But you're in charge, and I want to see some happening here. Corinth needs a blessing. And it's up to you to show God's love and blessing in this town. And now, sometime later, Paul says, what is this I hear? Like, what, Apollos, you got your own little band of followers? And some people say, oh, I'm not following Apollos. I'm still with Paul. When Paul, I love you, you're the best. And so sometimes our loyalties and allegiances can be trapped and stuck in a certain personality or a certain learning. Or sometimes we have proof texts that we pull out of God's word and we don't move beyond them. You know, one of the dangers of having just sort of a favorite verse is that what about the one that followed? And what about the couple verses that came before? How is it in our spiritual life, one of the things in our toolbox is to read God's word, but not to say, here's what I think, now I'm going to find a Bible verse that supports that. That's not reading God's word. The real power and growth happens when we allow God's word to read us. And we invite God's word into our life. We invite the Spirit that God has given us into our life. We invite the news and the fellowship and the conversation and the gathering that we do as a faith community to empower us and to fill us with information and conversation and experiences so that we all can grow and learn. This opportunity that Paul offers them, that there is something you can do about this. I want you now, he flips back from the analogy of a baby. You don't want to be babies. We get that. That's good. I want to feed you good spiritual food. I want your life to show it. I want you to grow in stature. I want you to grow in wisdom like our Savior did. And then he flips the analogy to a plant metaphor. And he says, think of it this way. I planted the seeds. Thinking back a year or two before, when I was with you, I told you all about Jesus. We started this spiritual community in the midst of the community at large. And then Apollos came and he watered. He nurtured the seeds that were grown. And just remember that I have a place, Paul says. Apollos has a place. Each of us have a place in the community of faith. But it's God that gives the increase. So how would you like to learn? You know, Lent is just a few weeks away. That season, that journey where we have the cross up before us and we move closer and closer and closer to the cross of Christ, where he made everything different. And then a few days later on Easter, what he made different lasts forever because he rose from the dead. That is before us as we start our Lenten journey. Maybe Lent is a great time for us to agree together that we want to grow and learn over the next 2 months as we approach Easter. What a great opportunity to say, you know, wherever you are in your spiritual life, no judgment, it's not a bad thing. You don't need to apologize for it. You don't need to feel guilty about it. But wherever you are in your spiritual life, put a marker down and say, here's where I am. I don't read scripture this much, or I go to worship this much. I get involved in my community this much. There are ways and spiritual tools that maybe you've neglected. It doesn't matter. Just say, today is the day that I'm going to grow and learn from this point on, and then surround yourself with the resources that God has given us. Begin your Bible reading. Allow the Bible to filter in your life. Allow the spiritual life with Jesus to inspire you, to lead your life differently as you follow Christ. And then the world around us, the community at large around us, will look at us and see God's wonderful good works through us, and more people will have hope. More and more people will be fed. Those who are oppressed will find freedom. Those who are bound up will be released. We will be God's messengers of hope to inspire our community to live the abundant life in God's abundance as we transform, as God transforms lives and communities and even the entire world. Thank you for what you will do during this Lenten season. And thank you for being someone who cares about making a difference in the world at large. God is with you and is inspiring us to do even more. And it all starts now. Let's pray.